Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're going to get back in our Father's Word here. The great book of Revelation, the unveiling, take the lid off of it, have a look at it with understanding. It is a real sad situation, as I've said many times already, that some people say, it's sealed, you're not supposed to know. Well, that's not what the title, nor is it God's will. He would not have even had the big book written if he didn't intend that you understand. We're in chapter 5, and we had finished verse 12. And verse 12 gave us the seven spirits of God. And they are power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. If you have the Spirit of God upon you, you should possess those things. If you have worked long and hard and earned it, that's what the Spirit of God will do for you. It's a blessing and an amazement at what our Father can do for us. Okay, chapter 5, verse 13, we're wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And so it is. It is forever. You're not playing around with the changing politics. This is the government that will be. It's the one our Father operates. Verse 14, and the four beasts said, Amen. In other words, that's that. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And so it is that our Father makes it real easy. If you possess that spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, okay. If you possess that, and you really, you should begin to enjoy those things along with that spirit. Now, we come to chapter 6. These are the seals. And the seals are a time of teaching to set you up for the trumps and the vials. And as we go along, I'll explain which comes first, and naturally the seals do. But it's extremely important that you notice the seals are out of order, chronologically speaking. But why would he put the Antichrist coming first? Because he doesn't want you deceived. People allow themselves to be deceived by men's talking when you got it right down here in the good old King James Version of exactly what you should be aware of in your understanding the teaching of God. So having said that, we're going to be going back and forth between a book or so here as we start. We're going to take our time. We're going to cover it real good. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. He had the authority and the power to do it. That he could open your mind the same way and seal it with truth. One of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, his crown is fake. Many people would think this is Christ. Christ, but Satan is a mocker. The word bow is toxon. It's a cheap fabric imitation. Meaning everything Satan's got, it's made up. It's not real like the beautiful prism of rainbow colors around the throne of Almighty God with his seven spirits coming forth to bless people. Now, do you think Christ taught this anywhere else? He taught it lots of places. The seven seals you can read in Mark 13. The seven seals you can read in Matthew 24. And most of them you can read in Luke 21. So it's not a secret that deception would come. So turn with me, hold your place in Revelation. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13. We're going to pick it up with verse 5 and 6. What did Jesus say here? Verse 5 of Matthew chapter 13, and it reads, Mark chapter 13, verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Do not let that white rider deceive you. He's going to look pretty boy. Look like the real thing. He comes in prosperously and peacefully. That's different than most people think. And that deceives a lot of people. So that's Christ's first warning. They've asked him, what's it going to be like at the end? And he's telling them, okay? Verse 6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are many going to come claiming to be a Christian, maybe even teacher. But they never get around to teaching God's word. But also, there's many going to be called Antichrist instead of Christ. And that's the one you want to really be leery of. Returning then back to Revelation, let's go with chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up then in verse 3. And verse 3 reads, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And so it is. So return, we're going to go, could it be that they would talk about this in Mark 2? Well, let's go there and find out. We go to Mark chapter 13, verse 7. And when you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, there you got it. Be ye not troubled, for such things must be, but the end shall not be yet. And there you go. That's the beginning of the sorrows. But it lets you know. What is the opposite of war when you stop hearing about it? Peace. A false peace. Whitewashing the wall of deception. Now we return to Revelation chapter 6. Let's pick it up with verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, here goes the third one. I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. There's just one problem. He never quite gets it balanced, okay? He's in a heap of hurt for that. And so it is. And we continue then in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and wine. Well, what does oil and wine represent? Oil is the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And certainly wine is the blood, and oil is the oil of our people. that they're balanced out all right. Trust. But the thing is this was a day's work then. It would take, right before the end, it would take a full day's work to buy one loaf of bread. That's putting a lot into it, and meaning inflation probably is going to come, and you can count on that. And verse 7 to continue, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, this is those that would listen to that deception. What happens after you listen to deception? You most likely, if you don't have the truth, you'll be deceived. So, therefore, that's what he is warning against, is do not be deceived and stay with God's word, not the word of men. Well, so this one, naturally, death, it means a spiritual death. Because if you follow the Antichrist and you've already accepted him as Messiah, I hope you're not thinking about attending the marriage supper of the Lamb, because you won't be there. That's how serious this is. In other words, let me put it a little plainer. You can't worship Satan and be a Satan worshiper and still be a Christian. That won't fly. Okay, let's go back to Mark 13. We'll pick it up with verse 8. What's going to happen? Are those seals here? Let's read them. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of the sorrows. This is the beginning of the end, that time of the Gentile, the very time of sorrows. It will be not deceptive to those who have listened, who knows what's coming. As I stated, there's not only two witnesses to this, but many witnesses about the trumps and vials and in other parts of Christ's teaching. The thing for you to do is to pick up on it, and you're with it. Okay, let's return to chapter 6, and let's have the next verse of chapter 6 would be verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, this is a very important seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They're delivered up. But this slaying is kind of a mistranslation, because it means if they're delivered up, they die a spiritual death. That's more serious than the flesh. Okay. And to make things real clear, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Christ came to this earth to be crucified, whereby in so doing, he could defeat death, which is to say the devil, Satan. So to be delivered up before Satan is to be delivered up before death. Only there's no dying to it other than spiritual. That's very serious. You do not want that to happen. And verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now, I want you to remember, where are these people? They're already with the Father, so they've died that first death. And where are they? They're under the altar. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. Instantly, you're going to go back to the Father from whence you came. So, and they're asking there, how long is it going to be till you put a stop to this? I suppose many of you may ask it today. If there needs to be a stop put to some things, but there, and let's go with verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed or delivered up to a false one, as they were, should be fulfilled. It's got to be fulfilled. No ifs, ands, or why are they doing this? They're witnesses. And let's go back to Mark again. Is it possible? Of course it is. Father's word is complete if you follow it and if you understand it and teach it with understanding. There are second witnesses to everything in his word. If not, you're missing something. Okay, so we leave then off with verse 11 and we go to Mark 13 and pick it up in verse 9. And what does verse 9 say all concerning those seals we just spoke of? "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues," this is the synagogue of Satan, the same one we read about back in chapter 2, verse 9, and 3:10, on the synagogue of Satan and those that claim to be our brother Judah. Okay? "And you shall be beaten and browbeaten," okay? And "you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake." That's the purpose. "For a testimony against them." This is where, when you're delivered up, you're not to premeditate what you'll say, but you'll give what that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, with all seven powers and blessings, the Spirit will speak through you. You don't have to. But this is for a testimony, so that people get a final warning and understand where we're coming from here. And verse 10, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." They've got to have that opportunity that the real truth from God's word goes out to all nations for their benefit. Well, how can that be? Well, that's why the cloven tongue is a tongue not unknown. It goes out in every language of the world where every nation hears it. Not only does every nation hear it, but they hear that voice in the dialect of in the county or state in which they were born. Verse 11. And 11, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." And that's that Spirit of God that brings those blessings forth. It is an amazing thing that God's elect, though you study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God, that on that moment, he'll take over. And we'll be happy about it, because what is said, we'll take it to all nations. And so it is. That's why God told them, he gave them white robes. If he gave them white robes, then that says a great deal more when you grow familiar with Revelation. That white linen, fine white linen, is woven together from your righteous acts, doing what is right. So they all had righteous acts, meaning they were God's elect. Verse 12, to continue. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. It is not a spiritual death, but why would a brother deliver his own brother up to this fake? Because he thinks it's Christ. Jesus, go help my brother. He's a little deceived out here, but he's a good man. And they'll turn you into him. And he'll love every minute of it, because that way he has a built-in spy system. That they, believing he is Christ, everyone is used to calling out to Christ for help or guidance or counsel. And in this case, they will think they're doing their family a favor. And really they are, when you get right down where the rubber meets the road. Because it is God's plan that the witnesses witness, and they shall, the Holy Spirit witnessing through them. And verse 13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You can count on it, they will be. God's got his hand on them. It is written in the 11th chapter of Daniel that even when you sway or are knocked off guard a little bit, you will have strength from the Spirit of God. That's a lot. Okay. Verse 14. And when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, do you? Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. That's the state in which Jerusalem lies. But what does it mean here with Daniel the prophet speaking of the abomination of desolation? If you go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the word in the manuscripts is not desolation, but desolator. In other words, not a condition, but an entity. And that entity is none other than the false Christ himself. And when in the Greek language, the same word means him, her, or it, or whatever, it is the subject that determines the value of the word as to whether it should be translated it or something else. In this case, if it is desolator, it should be he, okay, not it. So verse 15, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Well, what are they doing on the housetop? That's where watchmen stand. In other words, when you see it as a watchman happening, you're not going to need to pack anything. You just haul off. However, we will be delivered. That's good. Verse 16. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. You won't need to take a bag along with you. It's too short a time. The word of God in warning his children, that's what he's doing here. That you're not deceived, that you have everything in order. 17, but woe, this will fit with one of the woe trumps. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, this is not talking about a babe in a mother's womb. that we're speaking spiritual here. In other words, woe to you that have been deceived by this false Christ and have been impregnated by him mentally and spiritually, and you're even nursing along his program. You're helping him out in his church. What's written, that's what it means. Woe, I guess. Because if you expect to work in Satan's church and still have Christ have anything to do with you, you can better understand oftentimes why it's written where, oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you came. We prayed in your name. He's, I never knew you. You see, wrong Jesus. You got to get the correct one. And this keeps you out of the deception. All right, let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 18. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Well, what happens in, this is harvest time. Do you harvest in the winter? Not normally. You wouldn't. You'd be out of season. Verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. It's going to be a hard time to see our people deceived, because it is written in Revelation, the whole world wonders after this Antichrist. And that kind of narrows it down why you must understand God's word and let Revelation be the unveiling that lets you properly consummate the events that bring about the end of this age. That it becomes very important. So there's going to be trouble, but not for us. You know why? Because God's not angry at us. He's only angry at those that have gone astray, and you are immune to that. Verse 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen. They didn't volunteer. He chose them from the first earth age. Whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. You'll find out in the 9th chapter that he has shortened the 7-year period to a 5-month period. And in the 9th chapter, we'll talk about that. He did it for our sake. And that's a precious thing. Verse 21. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. In other words, that false Christ is coming, my friend. It says it right there. And that's only one place other than Revelation. There are many others. So he didn't say maybe the false Christ would come. He declared it. And when Christ declares it, you can count on it. Why? Because God's word is true. A lot of things will change, but God's word will never change. Not in the first earth age, this one or the one to come. It's always his words, his word, truth. So 22, listen, for false Christ and false prophet shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now, this dude playing Christ can snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven. You will read that in the 13th chapter of this book of Revelation. That's pretty awesome. And a person that is unlearned and unfounded to know what they're doing, that would be extremely impressive. That they would think this must be him. Well, his wonders and signs would indicate that if you haven't done your homework, you could be deceived. And that's why Christ, the first warning he gives in this 13th chapter of Mark, is see that no man deceives you. That's why it is ever, ever so very important. And as far as the false prophets are concerned, one that comes in Christ's name and claims to be a Christian and ends up at the appearance of the false one worshiping him becomes a very bad prophet. And especially if somebody prophesies, you don't have to worry about all that anyway, you're going to fly away, that's a false prophet. I know that will offend some, but we have read several verses. God has a purpose for you. Now, do you want to listen to some yo-yo? Or do you want to do it God's way? Are you willing to make the stand? Because they can't harm you. God's going to protect you. But that's what makes the difference, and that's why this is ever, ever, ever so important. There'll be some broken hearts. A lot of good people go fill that church pew and attend church. All their life, raised in it. Grandpa was there. And yet, to be deceived at the last minute, it would break your heart. It breaks my heart for them. That we cannot evidently draw all into the truth, but we're going to have a go at it. And pull them right back out of the fire. Verse 23, listen carefully. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. And so he has, that he would give us these warnings. How did he foretell us all things? Right here in the Word, and through the action of the Holy Spirit, he gives us all things. And certainly, that's a precious thing. Well, we will pick this up, and I'm going to go just a little over today in this. I want to finish this one particular part, so we're going to return to Revelation, if we have it up there, chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You can rest assured this is talking about Antichrist, okay? 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. There you have, this is Satan and his angels being cast out of heaven. Now we're going to complete in Mark, beginning with verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, you see, there's two tribulations. The first one is by Satan. The next one, God paydays. The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. 25. And the stars of heaven shall fall. There's your shaking. There they come. And the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. He's going to clean house up there. But woe to you down here. You can rest assured. Verse 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And not until then. He's not gathering anybody up to him before then, unless they pass away natural and so forth. 27, and then shall he send his angel, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. The four winds always signify the end, but they don't hurt you. Why? He's protecting you from them. And you can rest assured he will. That's why those souls are already, that have been the remnant, not the elect, but the remnant down through time, or at the altar, and they will no doubt be in an army he will bring with him. 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. What are we talking about? the parable of the fig tree, he didn't say maybe you should learn it. Learn it. Because it lets you know that there are two baskets of figs. And the way you tell time related to it is when Israel becomes a nation again. Even though you may have hangers-on with our brother Judah. And that happened in the year of our Lord, 1948. That generation will not pass. 29. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verse 30. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. That's a strong time element. After 1948, there you go. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God's word never changes. That's why it is a valuable thing for you to absorb it, to let it flow over the buds of your mind, to grow by it, to know the chronological order of events so you're not caught short. It's a serious thing. All right, bless your hearts. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you've got a question, share it, won't you? We can no longer answer all questions, but we'll have a go at it. We'll take a handful. If the Spirit's with us, you'll have it answered. It is a wonderful thing that God sent this letter to us to forewarn us and to make certain that His election are ready. All right, we go to His throne in prayers. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, I have a public announcement for Shepherd's Chapel students. We are pleased to announce Shepherd's Chapel will add the following hours to our existing programming on Dish Network Channel 256. Beginning Monday, February the 17th, Shepherd's Chapel program will air on Saturdays and Sundays from midnight till noon Eastern Time, in addition to our 24-hour-a-day Monday through Friday schedule. We hope you will enjoy these additional hours of programming. All right, let's get to the questions. We're going to go with Joe from Florida. What is the key of David? And thank you for your ministry and your staff. They're good people. We love them. And the key of David is to know how it unlocks doors and locks them, as it is written there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, is doors to the truth. This is why the seals are a time of study, to absorb what God is telling you, so that when the event transpires, because the actual fact, Satan will appear at the sixth trump, sixth seal, and sixth vial. That's three sixes. That's his number, and it's the number of the false Messiah. That is to say, Satan's role as false Messiah. He plays more than one role, but there's only one Satan. He's got a lot of helpers. But that key of David is to know the true Christ from the fake, because he comes from David, okay? Susan from Tennessee, is it a sin against God to sign up on affordable care? Also, is there any way they can take your land if you sign up? Now, there's different laws in different states, so you would have to check that out. In some states, they can, if they're going to take care of you for the rest of your life, they're going to take whatever you have, and it will go into their hands. Barbara from Texas, but there's nothing wrong with signing up for it if you need it. Some people need 24-hour-a-day care, and that's fine. Pick a good place. Barbara from Texas, please tell me where the different races were created. On the sixth day. He recreated the races and told them to go forth and replenish the earth. And then he rested the seventh day. And the eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam. That's a different Adam. And it was through that particular Adam that they would have the ingenuity, and he would use them. Some of them is elect even. But he looked in that at the end of chapter 1 of the creations. He had created these races. I like the final verse, and he looked, and it was good. So don't ever, ever apologize for your race in front of me, because God said, you're good if you act good. And I don't care if you were sixth day or eighth day. If you're not good, you're not good. God can save whomever will. Okay? Patty from Virginia, is it possible for people that has drug and alcohol addiction to go to heaven? Well, not according to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation said there will be no sorcerers in heaven. No room for them there. What is this word sorcerer? It's pharmacia. Pharmacia is like we have pharmacies where you buy drugs. Some of you buy them off the street. And so drug use, this is not talking about prescribed medicine that is necessary for your health. I'm talking about illegal drugs and trying to peddle it to kids to ruin their lives and so forth. God said, you're not going to be there. There's no room. So it falls on the word sorcerers. You can check that out in your Strong's Concordance. Stafford from West Virginia, Pastor Arnold, please tell me how I can overcome a double mind. It's real easy, right from the Word of God. You know, you don't double think. He pretty well gets you in a vein of truth that you're not going to come out of it. Sometimes people that doubt. There are really strong doubters. I mean, they worry and worry, and it doesn't do any good. You want to trust God. Put your faith in Him. Michael from Arizona, please let me know how Pastor Arnold Murray is doing. I have not heard any update. Well, now you have. We're plugging along. Doing good. Okay, this would be Yogesh from Georgia. Is there any place in the New Testament that indicates that Christ had a sense of humor? Do you think he ever joked with his disciples? I know that in the Old Testament, God had a sense of humor, especially in the book of Daniel, Kings, and Proverbs. Well, I think he did. You know, people that decided, like Simon, he decided he wanted to the power of the Holy Spirit. And they jumped all, the demons jumped all over him. And then he, when Christ died and resurrected, he said, dig a hole, bury me, and in 3 days I'm coming out of there. Well, he's still there. And Christ let that come forth to let you know that there are fakes. Don't let them deceive you. Pete from Oklahoma. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he ever ask God if there was another way? If so, can you tell me where to find it? I sure can. It's the vial. Do you know and understand what he's got to do? He's got to pour a vial out that, I mean, it brings things back to order. But a lot of people will be taken down by it that deserve it. I'll repeat, that deserve it. And Christ wanted to know, is there another way we can work salvation? It wasn't the fact that he was on the cross. God did not forsake him. But he did quote Psalms 22, David's words. On the cross, it tells all about, in Psalms 22, his crucifixion and so forth. Phyllis from Kentucky. Is it wrong to be cremated? I can't find anything in the Bible about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. You will can read about it. There's nothing wrong with cremation, and in this day and time, some people, that's all they can afford, and so be it. That's good. So there's nothing wrong with cremation. In other words, these flesh bodies are not our real body. Our real body is a spiritual body that dwells within it. And it instantly returns to the Father when that silver cord parts. Tina from South Carolina. If the bloodline from Noah to Jesus Christ was kept pure, how was Mary's line pure, and who was her father? Well, you can read it for yourself in Luke chapter 3. Her father's name was Heli, and he was of Judah. Her mother was of and Levite. So there you have it. Elish from Nevada. I've always been told that Eve was given an apple when she spoke to the serpent, and then she gave the apple to her husband. How do you come up with the Eve having sex with Satan and then her husband? Please explain Scripture. Well, let's explain Scripture. Where did you ever read in God's Word that Eve had an apple? It's not there. That's a lie. See, that's why you got to be real careful. You've been lied to all these years. When it says, of this one you shall not touch, that word is naga, and it means lie with a woman. So it's there scripturally. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says, I'm a little bit worried about you that you'll be deceived. The word is expatio, which is wholly seduced by the false Christ. And he means spiritually, of course. So, you see, you're way off base. You can search in your Bible day, night, and in between. You're not going to find an apple there. In the garden, other than etz is the word trees in Hebrew. Etz can be an apple tree. It can be an orange tree. It's the fruit of the land. He said you can partake of all that, but you leave that the good and evil alone. That's the tree of good and evil. That's Satan. Okay, I want to know why I'm told from people that hell is going to be tormented for bad people. And I know that is the wrong question about hell, because you said they are going to be blotted out. Why do these people keep saying they will be tormented? They're trying to frighten people into the church. scare them into it. Nobody's going to join a church and be really, really sincere if they are brought in by fear. And the main thing is left out. That's the love of God. The love of God should draw a person into a church, not fear. But this is why they just simply think that it's a chore to live a Christian life and try and never sin. They think that's a chore. So they want, if anybody that won't do it, they want to see them suffer. Well, that wouldn't be much of a heaven in my idea, to have to see them suffer. So, nor do we have to, because God will blot them out. God is a consuming fire. Lexi from Kentucky. Where will the devil go after he poses as Jesus? Thank you. His role as Antichrist instead of Christ is thrown into the lake of fire. Not him, but that means that his role and his governmental control is destroyed and is cast into the fire. And naturally, he goes into the pit for a while. But he'll come back. He'll be back. This is Deborah from Washington. My question is about following the moon for our calendar, years, and Sabbath. If we are children of the light and prophecy is always of light, then help with this matter of understanding. Well, we as best we can, we stick with the solar calendar. In other words, we try, if we can, if it's available, to have Passover exactly when it's supposed to be. That's to say, 14th day of the new year. The 15th day is a second Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it is, and it's called Passover, to symbolize the first Passover that came to be, and to teach. You see, with the blood of the Lamb on you, you've received it. You're washed with it. Then they must pass over you. They cannot. Why? Because of the truth. You're not going to be lied to and deceived. You're going to hang right in there. So then 50 days after that is Pentecost, and there are many sets of 50 on the solar calendar that make up a full, perfect year. It's the same every year. Okay, this would be Rebecca from Indiana. My question, do you believe knowing that the Antichrist comes before the true Christ makes a person one of God's elect? It's a good, strong hint. And because you could never convince someone that is wrapped up in false teachings that's the way it's going to be. So therefore, it kind of narrows the field, but not necessarily. It could be somebody of free choice that has seen it, because many have. Okay, and this would be Eli from California. If people were to stop believing in God, would he come down to earth? This Eli is 14 years old from California there. If people were to stop believing in God, would he come down? He's going to, regardless. And there will be a lot of people stop believing in him. But there are other things that have always brought Christ to earth, our Father to earth, to send someone to straighten it out. And that time is coming. It's going to happen. Mark from Illinois. Last year I came down with a terminal illness. I was the sole caretaker of my parents for two decades. I was baptized in 2002 at Passover. I follow the food laws and love the Lord, and I anointed myself and asked the Lord to heal me if it was His will. I was looking forward to witnessing against Satan, but if it does not happen soon, I won't be around. Well, remember, God's putting an army together in two places, in heaven and here. But we all join into the same battle. Well, with God's help, God doing most of the battling. So you did properly when you said in His will. And so we'll be remembering also. Rita from Florida, I would like to know, is 96 A.D. the year our Christ Jesus was crucified for us? No. Not 96, you may have heard, that's the date John was taken to Patmos, but Christ was, you can say 33. He was about 33 when He was crucified, and I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but most of all, God loves you for it. It makes His day when you read the love letter He sent to you, helping you out of the field of deception to follow Him. Makes His day when He makes your, when you make His day, He's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day. You know why? Even with trouble, because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed